but a great move of God's Holy Spirit. Good to have Brother and Sister Demas with us. Phil Demas' parents, missionaries to Germany. They're going to be with us in 2 months, I think. And they will be presenting their burden in both the AM and the PM service Sunday. And good to see our superintendent's wife, Sister Putnam, here. Good to have Kayla's family and Tim's family here. Yesterday was the big day for Carl and Cecily. And what a different wedding. Oh, my. Then we had a pig roast, and it rained. But we had a tent, and we stayed dry until we went to the car. But we had a good crowd at the wedding, and it's just, God's just been so good. I'm just thrilled for Cecily and Carl. I want to speak today on the subject, no regrets. Now, I don't think there's anybody in the building could lift their hand and say, I have absolutely no regrets about anything in my life. I can't do that. And yet I put a title, No Regrets. So if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and I want to read one verse. Normally, my preaching contains a lot of scripture, and my preaching and teaching, there's not any difference in it. It's just all the same. I don't excel to preach sermons. I want to give a message each time. And my objective is to properly communicate my burden and also the scripture to you. And I hope that I can do that today. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And when the scripture says not to be repented of, it's simply saying that when you repent of your sins, in other words, you manifest a godly sorrow for your sins, that you'll never regret it. It comes without regrets. Let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. Would you? Thank you, God. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done for us. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. The word regret just simply means a feeling, a bad feeling, or being sorrowful about something that you have said or something that you've done. Can also mean disappointment. And it can be translated repentance. Or repent. And as I said, today's subject is no regrets. Of course, I have many regrets about small things, but basically, you know, you commit a sin and you just have to let the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ take it all away and you have to move on. You can't beat yourself up all the time about it. You say, well, you said no regrets. Well, there are some decisions in life, however, that need to be made. You need to give a lot of thought to it. If you've already been born again, you need to give a lot of thought, that is, if you're single, to who you're going to marry. That's a biggie. Because once you're married, you're always married, till death do us part. Isn't that right? At least that's what the vows say. Now, people don't pay much attention to vows anymore, but that's what the vows say. For better or for worse, and trust me, it can get worse. And I tell young people, I have young people always come around worried about, you know, their status in life. They think that they're not going to ever get married. And especially people that are getting up 23, 24, 25, they think they're just going to die single, and or that Jesus is going to come back before they get married. I've actually had young people say, I want to get married. If it's no more than a week or so, I want to get married before the Lord comes back. Well, now you have plenty of time, and I tell young people, no, there's only one thing worse than being single then, and that's being married and wish you were single. And trust me, I've talked to a good number of people that have said, why did I do this? I've also had young people come in and say, you told me not to do this. Why didn't I listen? I said, well, I don't have the answer to that. You know more about yourself. Why didn't you listen? But you didn't listen and you're married, and that becomes your lot in life. In other words, that's the will of God for you. So when we make major decisions, we need to give a lot of thought to that. Now, even God had some regret. If you look at Genesis, the sixth chapter, this has to do with Noah, has to do with the wickedness that was upon the face of the earth. Now, the Bible just simply says in verse 6 of Genesis 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now the word repent here also can be translated, God regretted that he had made man. Now, as much as man takes a big volume as far as time is concerned on the planet Earth, and God's dealing with man prompted him to give us the Bible, which is a book given by God to man, not for God's well-being, but for man's well-being. Why would God regret? Why would he regret that he made man? Now, if you turn with me to Genesis 1, and we start reading about the creation of man. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every herb, every green herb, for meat. And it was so. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. It was good. So when God made man, he looked at him and said, great. It's good. And yet, just a few chapters later, actually 1,650 years had passed, which is a long time, by the way. God looked down and said, why did I do this? He was sorrowful. Now, the reason why that it happened like this is because as perfect as man was in his original form or creation, he gave man the power of choice. You can do what you want to do. Now, me knowing myself the way I know myself, that sounds very risky. And I'm sure that you could say, why did God do that? I've actually had people say, well, why didn't God just tell me that I need to serve him? Well, if you feel that way, why don't you just serve him then? But you see, there is no beauty in servitude unless there's choice. I mean, if you're made to do this, God was simply saying, I would get no glory out of somebody serving me because they're made to serve me. I'm going to give them a choice. So that when the final curtain falls upon time and man finds his final place or his destiny, whether it be heaven or hell, nobody will be walking upon streets of gold except those who chose and wanted to be there. Just the way it is. Now, when he made man, he made him perfect, but he gave him the power to decide what he wanted to do with his life. Now, God had a plan for his life. God had a purpose for man's life. And it's not that difficult to find God's will for your life. It's not that difficult. People wrestle with us all the time. But people who really want to do the will of God, they don't have to struggle with it all the time. The will of God is very, very simple in that God forgives you of your past, does not bring it up, does not remember it, cast all of your failures, all of your sins, everything into the sea of forgetfulness, which is in hell. He's not impressed with things that man is impressed with. I'd say if we had someone in our congregation who had committed several murders, had been placed in prison, and finally, after serving many years, they were paroled or they were set free, and then later, they, after serving their debt to society, you know, they made their way to God and found a place in the house of God. And we'd look back and we'd say, oh man, you know, that guy over there, he was the meanest guy. You can't believe. And that it'd just be buzzing everywhere, you know. Not that we feel bad at the man, but we feel somewhat, what should I say, impressed over the fact that he did so bad and yet he has turned out so good. But you see, God's not impressed with any of that junk. No. Inasmuch that he's not impressed with any of that stuff, neither is he altogether impressed by what you promised to do for him. See, the past is gone. The future has not arrived. So God deals with a person based upon what he is right now. You know, I've even heard some of the old timers in the church, not just this church, but I'm talking about in the body of Christ, question people who would come into the church and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and never live for God. They said, man, I'll tell you one thing. When I got the Holy Ghost, if they got what I got, as if maybe God didn't do anything for them. You've heard that, haven't you? You can't tell me they really got the real goods when they just never served him. But you see, God does not give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He doesn't save you based upon what you promised to do. He saves you based upon the condition of your heart right now. And that is what's so important. So He doesn't hold your past against you. He's not impressed with all of your promises. But it's the ever-present now. And you know, the thing about it is that, you know, it never will be anything but now. The greatest span of time is the ever-present now. Isn't that right? When you've been in eternity a million years, it's still going to be now. That's all it's going to ever be. And that's what God deals with you in. So, when God made man, He made him in His own image and His likeness. However, He gave them the power to decide. And it's not that difficult if he wanted to serve God, if he just served God, not based upon promises, but based upon action. In other words, what he's going to do today. That's so important. Every day that you wake up and you have your devotion, you have your prayer time, you need to recommit, or resubmit, maybe I should say, your life into His hands and say, "Now, Lord, You direct my path this day." And if you would do every day what you know that you need to do, you won't have to fret about tomorrow, because the doors will just open. They'll just open. I'm sure with Brother and Sister Demas, they served a lot of time on the mission field. And they purposed in their heart before they went to the mission field that they were just going to do the will of God. Now, looking back, they were in Greece for a long time and now in Germany. You know, you look back and you say, how did we get here? God just took you from there to here because every day you did the will of God. And every person that sits under the sound of my voice, God has a purpose for your life. And if you will do today. One of the big hang-ups that people have that are not serving God, they start thinking about tomorrow. Think about, now I've got to face my friends tomorrow. You know, what is my family going to say? Just do today what you need to do. Now, the problem with man, he gave him the power to decide. 1,650 years later, the Bible says that the very imaginations of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. So that when God said, and it's good, now God says, it's bad. But it became bad because man chose not to serve God. We look back at these stories in the Bible, we think, oh my. But people are making those same mistakes today. I'm so thankful that one day I looked at my past. I was just a young man. I was 20 years of age, actually. I looked at my past and I said, things are not going so good for me. I had so many things to happen to me, and you know, I actually knew when I was a little kid that I was supposed to preach the gospel. I knew that. See, the grace of God that worketh salvation hath appeared unto all men. God is a God of everybody. He's not just a God of the Pentecostals, you know. He's a God of the Hindus, the Buddhists, the Muslims. He's a God of the Jewish people. He's the God of the Protestants, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Catholics, the atheists. He's everybody's God. Why? Because He created and made them. See, the biggest mistake that the Jewish people made when Jesus Christ came is that God was Jewish. No, God did not come out of the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation came out of God. And the biggest mistake Pentecostals can make is to think that God is Pentecostal. So Pentecost came out of God. God did not come out of Pentecost. So we have this mandate to follow God. Otherwise, we'll just become traditional like everybody else. We'll have our own little thing, our own way. We'll go do what we want to do. You can see how easy it is. When we had everyone that joined up with the hyphen ministry to move over on this side of the church, I looked out and I said, where's Tim and Kim Knupp? I looked and I saw them way over here. I said, what are they doing over there? Because they've been sitting over here for years. So where are those young people? I looked at the college kids. They're over here. What happened? Most of you, when you come here, you sit in the same place, don't you? I've asked people, why don't you choose a different place? Because some people say, oh, it's too loud. Well, it's not real loud in certain areas of the church. Why don't you choose a different place? They say, I wouldn't feel like I was in church. Now, let me say this. If you would ever like to try a new church, just try a different pew before you, It's going to seem like different church you're going to. But isn't it true that most of you who park out front, you always park out front, and who park on the south side, you always park on the south side. You walk in here, you always sit here. And it's real easy for me to look out across the congregation and see, I can look within 15 or 20 feet and I can tell with about 99% accuracy by looking at that if you're here or not, see? It's the way it works, isn't it? But some churches go beyond that. They got to sing the same songs each time. You got to do everything the same way. And after a while, the law of religion is our tradition. And we're just like a train on a railroad track. We know exactly where we're going, how long it's going to take us to get there. We're not interested in putting any more into it than what it takes for the ride. We say we'd like another Pentecost, but we're not willing to lay on our face and seek the face of God until the power of God comes down like it did on Pentecost. Why? Because we've become too traditional, thus believing that God is Pentecostal. So much for that. I think you're getting confused. You got it, didn't you? Yeah. But I saw myself and I saw all the problems that were coming my way. I was just a young man. I had married my wife at a very young age. And we've always had a good marriage. I was not too kind at her at times. I had a bad temper. I had very little control of myself. I gave my heart to God April 15th, 1961. So you can see I was filled with the Holy Ghost 50 years this last April 15th. And I think I can say this. I have not regretted one day that I have served the Lord. No regrets. Absolutely no regrets. Have you ever seen an alcoholic stand up and church been delivered for years? Brother Thomas was an alcoholic. Brother Thomas is preaching in the prison this morning. Have you ever seen a man like that stand up and say, the only thing I regret about serving God is that I gave up my alcohol? Doesn't happen, does it? No, it doesn't. Soon after I gave my heart to God. I went to Texas Bible College. First year of their operation, I think it was 64, 65. I was on there a short period of time, and during the summer, 1965, I went to Cushing, Texas. Now, Cushing, Texas is a little tiny place. I never even thought about it being so small. The population, the sign says 750 people. Well, I never thought about that being small. I just had a. I went up there and preached during the weekends during the summer, and we preached in an old building that we got permission to preach in. There was no congregation there. I mean, it was an old abandoned building, bad shape. But when Bible school started in September, we had 35 or 40 people. And those people gathered around us one Sunday and said, "So you're going back to Bible school, you won't be up here." And I said, "Yeah, I guess that'd be it. And they begged us to stay. They said, "Would you please stay? We just really need you, Brother Grant, to stay." And so we pledged to pray about it. And I went back to Houston, Texas, and I met with Brother Foster, who was the president of the Bible school. And I told him they were wanting us to stay. And I said, it's a big decision. I've learned so much in Bible school. I only went 1 year to Bible school. But I can tell you, I learned a lot, and I have no regrets of going to Bible school. I mean, I really learned a lot. And if it hadn't have been for that decision that I had to make as to whether I stayed or what. So Sister Grant and I prayed about it. We said, well, look, you know, I was able to build homes and design some homes and even contracted some homes at a very young age. And I said, you know, what I think we need to do, we need to give 10 years of our life to home missions. Now, that's before Christmas for Christ or missions funds were available. So it all had to come out of your pocket. And I remember us moving to Cushing, Texas. The first house we had was not very good. There were only two houses in town to rent. Actually, three, and one of them was rented. And one of them was too expensive for us, so we took the older house, and it was in pretty bad shape, just pretty bad shape. I remember Sister Grant calling me one day while I was working. She said, "Hun, you're going to have to come home." What had happened was in the fireplace, some bees had a hive in there. We didn't know that. But, you know, every spring of the year they swarm, a new hive or new swarm of bees hatch, and they go and find another place, or they stay there and the old ones leave. I think that's the way it goes. But what happened, instead of going up the chimney, they came down. And so she had locked herself and the kids in the back room, and the bees were all over the place. I got there and, well, what a mess. We were also, it was raining. We were going to have a ladies' meeting at the church, and the old building was so bad. And I went over there after we took care of the bees, and which took several hours, and I went over to the church. And walking through the building, the roof had been leaking so, and there were pieces of plasterboard in the ceiling. And all of a sudden, one of them fell. The weight of the water had leaked down, and it fell, and there was about probably 5 gallons of water that fell with it. And I thought, if that had fallen on my head, it would have killed me. So I didn't know what to do. I went out to my car, and I got a hatchet out, one that I'd use for putting shingles on. And I went out back of the building, and I cut down a sapling tree, just about an inch and a half in diameter, about 10 feet long. Put a sharp point on it and went in there and poked holes in all of those plaster boards and let all the water out. And went and got a mop and mopped the floor so the ladies could have their meeting that night. You know, and went ahead and had the meeting, put a bucket underneath each one of the holes, because it was pouring down rain. They had their meeting. Isn't that something? You see, for Pastor Grant, it hasn't always been like this. No. And 2.5 years later, we had the building totally filled. Totally filled. That's when I came to Wisconsin, preached a revival for Brother David Fuller in Clintonville. And we were building a brand new home. God had blessed us and provided for us. And so we were getting out of the old house and moving into a new home. When I was in Clintonville preaching revival, Brother Davis, the superintendent, called me, and also Brother Burns, the presbyter, and said, you know, we don't have a church in Shawano where we have our campground, and we do have one in Clintonville, but we'd like for you to pray about starting a church in Shawano. I went back home, and I talked to Sister Grant about it. I said, well, you know, what we said we were going to do is give about 10 years to home missions, and this has really grown. But we have a new house, and we're going to move into it. About time that our dreams started really coming true, God said, it's time to move. No Christmas for Christ, no mission support, nothing. We ended up selling the house, used all the proceeds to move to Shawano, and took the additional money and put down on the building, and bought a building. Now I'm broke again. But you know, when we left with a pastor there and a church full of people and a parking lot full, and you drive away, no regrets. None whatsoever. Moved to Shawano. Moved in January. It was actually 27 below zero when we arrived. Not a good time of the year for someone from Texas. I couldn't find a job right away. But we did find a building. We put some money down on the building and was an old church building. The people were not meeting there anymore, but they still owned the building, and they sold the building to us. And so we put the money down and couldn't find. We had living quarters above the auditorium. The auditorium was like a story and a half up. We were way up high. Bedrooms, 2 bedrooms, 3 boys. Bedrooms were like 8-9 feet wide. Serious with you. And about 10 or 12 feet long. That's all. Just little tiny bedrooms. Just stack the boys up. Not only that, I couldn't find a job. And wintertime building. Now they build a lot of houses up there in the wintertime. And back then they didn't. Now, what am I going to do? Got some people that started coming to church, and they brought commodity food in. We ate commodity peanut butter and cheese. Big blocks of cheese and commodity peanut butter. Go down to the bakery and get 2 or 3 day-old bread for almost nothing. You remember those days, Roy? You know. We stayed there almost 3 years. God really did bless. I got a job. Things were better. After we'd filled the building up, I mean, we had filled the building up and the Sunday school up. Everything was filled. God called us to La Crosse, First Christmas for Christ missionaries in the state of Wisconsin. Loaded all of our stuff up. Moved. When I drove out of town, knowing that they had a good pastor, knowing that the building was full, I felt good. Didn't think about the sacrifice. Said, no regrets. Went to La Crosse. The little tiny building there that was owned by the United Pentecostal Church. Had four or five people there, and they'd been there for years. We just started going downtown on Saturday night and talking to students and passing out Christmas for Christ. Brother Pugh was the director. You had to knock 1,000 doors a month. Otherwise, you didn't get your check. So when I turned in my budget, I turned in a budget. I got $465 a month. I'm supposed to be working full-time to build a church. Not much money. So, you know, Brother Pugh brings you in. He lectures you about when you turn in your budget, make sure that you're conservative, because people from all over the states work hard. And I got to tell you, when I turned mine in, there wasn't enough money to make it. And every month, I told myself, why did I turn in such a low figure? Somebody even had the audacity to ask me, did you make it? Well, here I am, I guess it is. But we did make it. And when we had that little building, we ended up filling it up. And we bought a bigger building. We filled it up. And our 10 years were up, and we were going to go back to Texas or down south. Our son Steve developed a kidney disease and almost died. And so we got a pastor in. See, the way I looked at it, if you have a church full of people, you can always get a pastor. But you can't always get a pastor or a preacher to go to a city where there's nothing. I'm not blaming the preachers. Let me tell you, it's difficult. It's much harder than what you think. You got to have a real burden, and you got to be willing to work. I pretty near worn my clothes out just changing them. And what do you mean by that? Get up in the morning, put on work clothes, go down, work on the building, and pray. Go back upstairs, take a shower, put on my suit, and go to work. I was selling furniture and carpet from Montgomery Ward. Come home, put on my work clothes, go and work. Clean up, put my suit back on, go teach a home Bible study. Come back in, put my work clothes on, go to work on the building. Had to build all the furniture, everything. If there's going to be literature for this Sunday school, I'm going to have to buy it. If there's going to be hymnals in this church, John and Darlene are going to have to buy them. Do I have any regrets? Not when you walk away with a new pastor and a house full of people. We were down south in Oklahoma preaching for a church that actually elected us. They owned one city block. It was only two blocks off of downtown. And they were wanting a new building, and they had several $100,000 in their building fund. And it seemed to be the right place for us because I knew I could build a building. When I was down there, Brother Cole, who was the assistant to Brother Blackshear, gave me a call and said, I was told that I could find you here. He said, before you tell them that you will take the church, would you come by and preach for us? So on our way back to La Crosse, we preached here. I went to La Crosse, and the very next night, on Monday night, I think it was, they had a business meeting, and they elected us to be the pastor of the church here. Now, I was told by the church board that we just built this building not long ago, and there's not much money, Brother Grant. Got the secretary in, and most we can pay is $75 a week. It's 1972. And takes all of our money just to make the note and pay the utilities. So we accepted it. $75 a week. They furnished a house for us, though, and the utilities. And people jumped in, and they brought us groceries and helped us every way possible. But all of a sudden, God started sending revival. After a while, we had that building full over on Milwaukee Street, 1979. Or 1979, yes, we bought the land here. 1987, we put up first phase of this. We filled it up. 1997, we built a new auditorium here. We filled this up. 2003 and 4, we put a large addition in the kids' rages room on. Now we have a house full, and we need a new worship center. You know, and I can truthfully say this, it hasn't always been easy, but God has never failed me. Never failed me. You know, I think about backsliders. I've seen backsliders walk away from God and take their children out of church. Children grow up not knowing God. I've known couples take teenagers out, and before long they were involved in drugs and alcohol, and all kinds of things. You know, you wonder, do they ever remember those precious moments they were speaking in tongues and laying on their face before God at the altar? Do they remember lifting their hands and singing those beautiful hymns, beautiful choruses? Well, I've lived long enough to be by the bedside of some of those people just prior to their passing. They've told me, I made a horrible mistake. My life is full of regrets. Why did I ever leave God? Why did I ever leave the house of God? I guess I just got my eyes on bad things instead of the good things of the church. You know, I can truthfully say this. I left Cushion, no regrets. I left Shawano, no regrets. I left La Crosse, no regrets. I'm thinking the only way I'm going to leave here is probably in a hearse. Probably die here. But this is what I want to say. When my tenure on life is over, I want to leave with nothing to prove, nothing to lose, and nothing to hide. I want to hear him say, well done. Now, to some of you, as you listen to me, you have regrets in your life right now. You regret that you're where you are and no further along than you are. You regret that your lifestyle has taken you down the wrong road. But you know, the good thing about God is, it's never too late to turn around. It's never too late to turn around. Never too late to turn around. Now, I'm not going to promise you a bed of roses. I think it's wrong to promise people a bed of roses. If you serve God, everything's going to be all right the rest of your life. No, this is life. And let me tell you something, life is hard. If you don't believe it, go down to the University Hospital and go from room to room and interview people that are in there with their suffering loved ones, some of them in deep a coma. Go down there. Look at the burn victims. Go into some of the rooms where some of the Christians are dying with cancer. You may say, well, what is man is born a woman a few days and full of sorrow. The only way we can get to heaven, unless we go by the rapture, is to die to get there. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. I'd rather wait for the rapture. But truthfully, I thought in 1965, when I went to Cushing, Texas, and dropped out of Bible school, I thought I better do this right now because Jesus is coming back. That's what I thought. Now, all these years have passed. He hasn't come back. But He is coming back. Oh, yes, He is coming back. Oh, yes, He is coming back. And I'm thinking that He's going to come back in my lifetime. But if He doesn't, I know this one thing. That I'm going to die just like everybody else dies because statistics prove that one out of one dies. And you can't get around that. So are you ready to meet God? And if you're not, what about your life? Do you have deep regrets? Has life been hard and unfair and maybe taking you down a road? Maybe you made decisions concerning drugs, alcohol, or whatever. Multiple marriages, multiple partners. All of these things are happening today. But let me tell you, it's never too late. I've heard people say, you can turn over a new leaf. I got news for you, my friend. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need to get in a new book. We want you to stand. Would you stand with me? Oh, my. Let's lift our hands and just worship the Lord. Isn't God good? Thank you, Lord. Oh, halababashakaramabahatai. Haliatoshakaramabadiandalababahatai. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Now, God has a message for us. Let's just wait on Him. Yield to Him if He gives you this. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Why do you hesitate? Why don't you step out from where you are and bring all of your problems, all of your regrets. Bring everything to Him. Just come and over here to the right. Come over here. Come on right now.